to run, man, hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, crew members, children, moms, dads, grandparents, and great-grandparents. Yes, everyone, welcome aboard the kids' canoe. We will be paddling through the waters of the Word of God, looking to various parts of creation that Jesus holds in his hands. So put on your life vest of love and hold fast to your paddle of faith for a great adventure into God's creation. Well, ahoy crew members again, and welcome to the Kids Canoe. And I was reviewing where we've been so far. We've actually completed 7 lessons. And when I thought of that, 7 lessons, that's a very significant number in Scripture. The Bible uses the number 7 over 700 times. In fact, in the book of Revelation alone, we find it 50 times. There's 7 churches, 7 spirits, 7 lampstands, 7 scales. We have 7 trumpets, 7 angels, 7 thunders, 7 golden bowls, 7 kings. So 7's a really important number. And it's interesting because I was trying to think of when did I realize as a young boy, when did I realize the importance of number 7? And it came about in a very unusual way. In my neighborhood, almost everybody that were my friends went to all the same school. We went to St. Clement's Catholic School. And however, one boy, his name was Marty, he was just lived across the street from me, and there was something different about him. He went to actually to like a service on a Saturday, and that's because he was Jewish, and it was the Sabbath. Well, one day I was over his house, and I happened to see that he had this table. And on the table, he had a single candle, and then he had a group of candles that were 7 of them, and then he had another one with 9. And so I never thought much about it, but one day, it was a Friday evening, I went over to his house, and one of the candles were lit. And I noticed that, and so I said to his mom, "How come you have that candle lit? I've been here before, and none of the candles were lit. And now tonight, I'm here on a Friday, and it's lit." Well, she said, "You really want to know?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, sit down. I'll explain all these candles that we have on our little table." So she started with the fact that what had happened was the one candle that was lit was for what they called Shabbat candle. And that was because on Friday evening, after the sun goes down, they would light a candle. And the candle would stay lit until the next day when the sun went down on Saturday. It was called the Sabbath. But then I said, "Well, what about those with 7 of them there?" And that was where I got this idea of 7. And she says, "Well, that's our menorah." And I said, "Wow, 7 candles?" And she said, "Yes, but each of them have a special meaning." She said, "The first candle stands for the Passover. And actually, these are the appointed times. And God wanted us to remember the appointed times. And so the first one was the Passover. The second one was unleavened bread. And the third was the Feast of the First Fruits, and the fourth were the Feast of Weeks, and the fifth was the Feast of the Trumpets, and the sixth was the Day of Atonement, and the seventh were the Tabernacles." Wow, I said, "That's really a lot to remember." And she said, "Well, that's why we have the candles. When they're lit, it helps us to remember. In fact, God actually told us, the Jewish people, that we needed to make a menorah of pure gold. And the word menorah is the one with the 7 lampstands. And the menorah, basically, the word just means lamps. And so there were 7 in it. And in Exodus 20, 30, and 37, it says, "You shall make 7 lamps. They shall light as lamps that give off the light. And they're to be used," and they used, instead of candles like this lady was using, they used pure olive oil, and they filled that into the menorah, and that actually gave off the light when they lit each of the individual wicks. Okay, so she told that. And then I said, well, wait a minute. What about these? This one you have, which has one tall candle in the middle, and there's nine of them. And she said, oh, you really want to hear the story for this one? Because it's kind of long. And I said, oh, yeah, I want to know. So I knew about the seven, and that seven stuck in my mind, a menorah, seven. And there were seven feasts that they had to remember. Well, then she told me the story that happened long ago. It was 168 B.C. That's even before Jesus was born. And there was a character, and his name was Antiochus, and he was Epiphanes, and he basically was a Greek. And what had happened was when Alexander died, he divided his empire into four parts with his generals. And Antiochus, he was one of them. And he was in charge of the area where Jerusalem was. Well, what had happened was he decided to go into the temple and to erect a statue of Zeus. Well, this caused the people to get really upset. And a group of people, the Hasmoneans or the Maccabeans, they got really upset and they went to war. And they used what we call guerrilla warfare, and they were fighting a very powerful army, but they defeated them. And what happened was they cleaned that statue of Zeus out of the temple, and then they went in to light the lamp. But one of the things they realized is they only had a curette that only had one day's worth of lamp oil in it. Well, they decided to go ahead and light it anyway because they could make more, but the problem was the Maccabeans had been killing all these Greeks in the battles, and they were defiled for 7 days. So they had to wait 7 days before they actually started making more oil to put into menorah. Well, they put the curette of oil in, and they lit the tallest one, and that's the one that they used to light all the others, and then they lit another one. So now you have two lights, and then the second night, all of a sudden, they had enough oil to light a second night, and then a third night, and then a fourth night. And they went all the way through until all eight were lit. Well, this is another feast that the Jewish people celebrate. It's called Hanukkah. And they're celebrating it because here they only had enough oil for one day, but it lasted eight. So they have lights for 8 days. Now, you know, at Christmas time, we do sort of a similar thing. We have lights that light up, and we have lights on a Christmas tree. People decorate their houses with lights. But the Jewish people do it because it's a remembrance of what God had done. God had done, first of all, in giving them the menorah in their temple to give light to the priest when they came in to do the services. And then they also had a nine candelabra, and that was basically reminding them about what had happened with the miracle. So God had created a miracle. Now, one of the things I wanted to do is I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, holy cow, I'm an altar boy, and you know what I do before each Mass? I come out, and I have a long stick, and on the end is a wick, and I light it, and then I go over, and before church starts, I actually light these candles that are on the church altar. Well, that sort of reminded us that Jesus is now... it's time to sit down and worship him. Well, the Jewish people did the same thing. And I did it with lighting up the lights at the church, front of the church. Well, they were actually carrying menorahs during special times and also the Hanukkah menorah, which actually had nine. And also every Friday, boy, that was a good remembrance. They would light one candle for a whole night. Well, you know, I couldn't help but think about something that's really in my mind, and that's a verse. And this verse was one of my favorites. The verse is this: your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. That's Psalm 119, 105. And you know, that's an important thing because, see, the word is a lamp unto my feet. And I couldn't help but remember a movie that I recently had watched. It was called Avatar. And in Avatar, it's basically a world in a faraway galaxy, and because of travel, we were able to go there. And one of the things that is interesting about the people is they had at night, everywhere they stepped, light was given off. And I couldn't help but think, you know, everywhere our feet go, our feet touch, we should be giving off light. We should be giving off the light that is the Word of God. And not only that, but when the people that were walking around, when they touch a plant, the whole plant would light up. In other words, where our feet go and everything our hands touch, we need to be bringing light to the people. And this is the light of the Word of God. And, you know, it's funny because there was something else in that movie that I happen to remember. And that's the characters in there, they looked sort of like humans, except they had tails. And one of the things they did when they were going to ride like a horse-like creature, And they would take their tail and attach it to the tail of the animal, and they would be connected to it. In other words, they wouldn't have to say, go to the right or go to the left. They would think it, and they would automatically go that direction. And then they had these flying creatures. Again, they had a tail, and they would attach their tail to the flying creature. They sort of looked like large dragons. And when they were flying, they'd say, go right. Just think it, and it would happen. You know, actually, it's kind of interesting because I watched a movie one time. It was called Firefox. In fact, one of the things that I use to operate my operating system on my computer is Firefox. Well, Firefox was a movie, and it was about a fact that the Russians had developed a helmet where the pilot didn't have to turn knobs and to move the plane. He would just think the direction he wanted to go and automatically would go there. We're actually, our military is actually experimenting now with helmets that can actually take the magnetic impulses in our brain and directly program them into flying an airplane. So it's kind of interesting. So, you know, you're a light of the world, and we have to remember that. So everywhere our feet goes, everything that we touch, we need to remember that. And, you know, there's a verse that actually talks about exactly what I just mentioned in this movie, Avatar. And the verse is Ecclesiastes 12:6. And this is a hard verse to understand, so I'm going to go very slowly with this verse. It says, or even the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken. Now, I was stumped when I first read this because I wondered, what in the world is the silver cord and what in the world is the golden bowl? Well, the golden bowl actually is our mind. It's our thoughts. It's our brain. And one of the things that we need to do is the silver cord should not be loosed. It should be attached to what? The mind of God. And we do that by reading His Word. We can actually get a silver cord from our mind through the Word of God directly to God's mind. And the golden bowl is connected. Remember when I mentioned how they would take the horse and they would connect their tail and they would be able to have the horse go in the direction they want by their thoughts? Well, once we connect with God's mind, our thoughts become His thoughts. And this is an important thing for us to remember always. You know, remember one of the first things that happened is God says, let there be light. And, you know, light is so important. In fact, one of the things that I have to remember about light in my own life is the fact that when I was at a special program they had just recently here in Port St. Lucie, it was about the care of life. And the people that were there at this meeting, they had a special speaker, and he was talking about something that I never had heard before. And that's when the sperm from your father unites with your mother's egg, a light is given off. In other words, our life is started with light. So our light is started with our life at the same time. It's an important thing to remember. And, you know, Scripture tells us that the Lord is the light of our salvation. And God is light, and in Him there's no darkness. You know, there's a statue that you can see at Rockefeller Center in New York City, and it's Prometheus. And Prometheus is said to come to the earth and brought light, fire to man. Well, this is a pagan representation, but actually in one way it is. We do get light because God said in the third verse of Genesis 1:3, let there be light, and guess what? There was light. In fact, even a really important scientist, his name was Einstein, he said, you know, when I studied all the things that I've learned, I realized I've got it all wrong. He said, what really exists? There is no real matter. There is only light and sound. Now, just think about that. God is light. Without light, we would see nothing. And when He says something like, let there be light, let the land arise out of the sea, it happens. See, it's His light and His words that actually create everything. And we learned that when we memorized that verse way back when we had our first session back in April the 8th. We said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is an important thing. So we see this, and one of the things that I remember is the first really scary event that occurred in my life about light. And what happened was I had a group of volunteers at the Nature Center. It was 40 of them, and they would help me when kids came out because we would have 80 students, and I would give a presentation to everyone, and then we'd divide them up into groups of 10, and then 8 of my volunteers would take them on hikes, and they were trained on what to talk about, the topic for the day. Well, one of the things that we did was once a month, I gave them a special treat. We went on a field trip somewhere, and someone said to me, listen, I want you to go and check out Hemlock Gorge. And I said, oh, well, I've never been there. And so they told me where it was. And it was a really neat place. I had to travel, and they said, listen, as soon as you cross the Gunpowder River, look to your right, and you'll see a fire trail. It's called the Jeep Trail that the Department of Natural Resources used to check for fires. They said, as soon as you get there, park your car and start walking up the Jeep Trail. And I did. And not sooner than I got to the top of the hill, there was a cemetery. And it was an interesting cemetery because it was in the middle of the woods. And one of the things I started looking at was all the gravestones. And this is what struck my mind when I was looking at them. Almost everybody that had died there was under the age of 40. Well, later on, I looked up the statistics, and it turned out that these were all this cemetery was from the 1700s. And back in the 1700s, people only lived about 38 years. Today, we live an average of about 80 years. Well, anyway, I got a good impression when I was seeing the cemetery. And then they said, continue on a narrow trail, and it'll descend down. Well, it descended down, and finally, we ran into a group of trees that were enormous. They were hemlocks, and I had never seen such hemlocks that big before. And one of the things it said was a plaque there. It said these hemlocks were 400 years old. That means that they were around in the 1700s. Well, anyway, they had told me one of the special things about this hike was that you would hike and cross a small stream, and then look up on the hillside, you'll see a cave. And I thought, oh, wow, a cave. That would be really interesting for the people to go and visit a cave. So I crossed over the little stream, and I was looking up on the hillside, and there was a very small opening. It was a cave there. And then I got to the cave and realized, holy cow, I forgot to bring a flashlight. But I had traveled all that way, and I said, I wonder if I should go into the cave. Well, I decided to bravely go in. I thought maybe when I got in there, the little bit of light from the opening might allow me to see. Well, I crawled into the cave, and when I went in, I sat down, and I didn't see anything. In fact, I put my hand in front of my face, and I couldn't see that at all. And I'm sitting there, and then I realized there's something else in the cave, something big, and it was moving around. So I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what possibly could be in a cave? And the thing that came to my mind was a bear. And I said, oh, wow, what an idiot I am. I didn't bring a flashlight. I'm sitting here, and there's something big in the cave with me, maybe even a big bear. Well, I was not sitting there much longer when all of a sudden a bright light went on, and there were two people sitting opposite me in the cave. And it was funny because I immediately, when I saw them, I thought, uh-oh, are these angels? Well, no, they were just people. And they said that they heard me come in, and they were wondering why I didn't have a flashlight. And we started to talk. And as we talked, and they had the flashlight that lit up the cave, I noticed something. In a corner of the cave were snake skins. And I recognized one of the skins. It was from a copperhead. So here I'm in a cave without a light, and now that the light had revealed to me this danger, there were actually copperheads that went in there and shed their skin. I could have easily been bitten by a venomous copperhead. And then they shined a light on the ceiling, and there, hanging upside down, were bats, and they were everywhere. And I'm thinking, holy cow, the fact is this light revealed to me danger. And you know, that's exactly what the Word of God does. It's a light. It's a light unto our path. And one of the things we notice when we have this light, we see dangers. And there I'm looking at the dangers that I had not even would have known that were there unless there was a light that was shown. Well, I bid the people goodbye, and I couldn't help but think about other things about light. You know, light is really important. It gives us warmth. Okay, it gives us light so we can see, gives us protection. Okay, we have lights on in our house so that we can scare predators or people who may be damaging our property away. And also, you know, light is also dangerous. Okay, fire. In fact, God's word is sometimes called a fire. There's a creature called the phoenix. And one of the things about the phoenix is when it dies, it bursts into flames and it's reborn. Well, you know, in a way, we have a new birth. You know, in fact, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Well, he was wondering what that meant. Well, you know, even though the phoenix is a myth, it actually is symbolic in a way of actually what happens to us when we accept the Lord as our Savior. And, you know, one of the things that I did really as part of the nature programs that I ran, we had second graders come out, and I did what was called the bee program. And what it was is I was teaching them about insects. And, of course, bees, we had them, plenty of them. We had a big hive full of bees. And in fact, the hive was an observation hive. You could look through glass and see that. You could find the queen, and all the bees would be gathered around her. But one of the things that I did was outside of the nature center, we had this big box full of bees, and I would go out and I would take it apart. Well, I did something before I took it apart, and that's I would take a smoker, and it was just a tin can, and you'd take some burlap and you light it, and then it would produce smoke, and you'd smoke the bees. And you know what? When you did that and you opened up the hive, they didn't run and start stinging you. Do you know why? Because when the bees are threatened with smoke, they realize where there's smoke, there's fire. What they quickly do is they want to escape. And so all the bees run in and drink as much honey as they possibly can hold. And this is so that they can transport themselves and fly off and start another hive if that one's burned up. Well, when they are full of honey, they're very docile and they're very calm. And so you can handle them. And one of the things, you know, we need to fill up on the Word of God. One of the things we're doing as we're learning these lessons is we're memorizing Scripture. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's an important verse to remember. We're going to learn more as we go on. So we see that this is exactly what we're talking about the light and about the fact that the Word of God gives us light. We know that the more we read, the more we study, the more we memorize, the more light we give off. It's like when we step, like the steps of those that lived on Avatar, they give off light. And then when you touch things, they give off light. This is why we need to be full of the Spirit of God. We need to be full of the Word of God. That's why we study it. You know, I used to be afraid of the dark until I learned I'm the light in the darkness, and the darkness is really afraid of me. And, you know, I'm going to refer to another show that my children really liked. Remember, I had five children, and one of the things that was they really liked was the story called The Never-Ending Story. And in it was something that was devouring the light. It was called The Nothing. And there was this big wolf that followed the nothing. And this is something that he said. What is the nothing? It's emptiness that's left when the light is gone. It is like a despair destroying this world that I've been trying to help it. But why? Because people who have no hope are easy to control and they're easy prey. Remember that. Because people who have no hope, but we have an eternal hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was looking at the fact that this nothing was consuming everything, and where there was light, there was nothing but darkness when it finished, and this wolf was coming along and eating the people that were actually being consumed by the nothing, and he was actually helping the nothing. So one of the things that happened in this story is in the very end, this area was called Fantasia, was being destroyed by the nothing. And finally, this little boy, Atreo, rescues everyone, and all that's left is one little tiny grain of light. But do you know from that little teeny tiny grain of light, Fantasia, which is the story, was recreated. You see, we only need to have a small little light to give off. That small little light that we give off can turn into something big, huge, immense. You never know how far the things that you do when you shed the light of the Word of God on people and how that can transform them. And, you know, another thing about light that we read in Deuteronomy, Hebrews, and we read that God is a consuming fire. We often think of God as loving and gracious, which, of course, he is. However, we must not forget the angels cry, holy, holy, holy. Holiness demands that sin and wickedness be dealt with. We have laws protect us from evil people, but we do not know that we know that they're not perfect. However, God will deliver his people from evil and will do so completely and fully. A day is coming when God will remove all sin and wickedness from his presence. He will purge the sinfulness out of us, and he will remove all of it from the universe. This is a really great promise. And, you know, this is going to come. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. You know, it's interesting because the only thing that's going to remain after the new heaven and the new earth are created is the Word of God. It's still going to be there. Also, you know, we're going to carry into eternity are memories. This is why it's important for us to take time and look back on what we've learned so far, because the things that we've learned are very important. Okay, so since all things will be dissolved, what manner of person might we be? Okay, now, I want to play a little song, okay? And this is a song that really I'm hoping what it does is it creates sort of what we call an earworm. An earworm basically is nothing more than a remembrance of how we remember things. And one of the things that I want to bring up is the fact that this memory that we have can be jogged, okay, through remembrance of songs. So I'm going to play one of the songs for you.
We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hand. We will start and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. Everybody sing it. Yeah.
Well, that was an interesting song. Basically, you know, I don't know if you've caught it, but so many of the things in that song actually are things we've been talking about. We've been talking about the creation. We've been talking about the works of our hand. And these are things that really we want you to remember. So that's why I played that song for you, so that we could remember the things that God has done for us. Remember the things that that will happen in the future. These are important things. And, you know, an earworm is just simply a song that will stick with you and you'll hopefully remember the things. So one of the things that we see in Scripture is that, you know, there's prominent themes in Scripture about our memory. You remember Moses called the Israelites together and said, remember the mighty acts of God. And then later on, we see Psalms. We see Psalms praise the Lord by remembering his continued faithfulness. And remember how we should conduct ourselves. And, you know, there's the most important thing to remember is our Christian faith is built on a necessity of remembering the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So our Christian life is focused on memory to basically remember what he's done for us. This is so important that we keep that for us always, that we remember the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
If children or listeners have any question about today's message, you can contact me, Glenn Swiston, at my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net. That's my email address at luvh2062@comcast.net. Now, if you don't have access to a computer, you can call me at 443-928-8548. That's 443-928-8548. Now, you may be wondering, all the information that you've received from this message, I have backed up with slides. And if you really would like to have the slides also, you can contact me at my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net, and I will send you all the slides that I used in today's presentation.
He's got a you and me, brother.